Let's read a very short passage in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The Gospel message is, at its heart, a very simple message. And this is a very simple verse, right at the beginning of the New Testament, about this man called Jesus, and who will save his people from their sins. Life, on the other hand, is very complicated. Life is very confusing. And from the moment that you are born here, you have to make difficult decisions, and things happen in your life that you really don't know why they've happened, and things seem confusing, and things are very difficult to understand. But the Gospel message stands out very starkly against all that, is that it is a message for all. It is a message that goes out to whosoever. It is a message that goes out from the youngest to the very oldest. And it's not a question of understanding everything that the Bible says straight away. It's a matter of taking God at his word in simple faith. The Lord speaks a number of times about having faith like little children. And in fact, some of the worst, the harshest words, if you like, that the Lord had were to those that were knowledgeable and were full of learning. It's not about that. The Gospel is not about an academic understanding of Christianity or an academic understanding knowledge about who Jesus was. It's about coming to know him personally as your personal Savior, taking a step in simple faith. And tonight, dear friend, I've read this verse here because it is a very simple verse that really encapsulates what the Gospel is all about. God sent his Son, called Jesus, so that he could save people from their sins. And tonight, dear friend, that great offer of salvation is open to whosoever will. I don't know, the youngest person in this room is 3 years old. I don't know who the oldest person or how old the oldest person in this room is. But wherever you fall in the demographics of human existence, the Gospel is presented to you, and you can take full opportunity. You can take that opportunity. You can take full, you can come into it in its fullness. Wherever you are tonight, whatever your history is, whatever your background is, you can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. God's message of grace, God's message of salvation, the great call in the Gospel has been going on for thousands of years. And many men and women and children have taken that opportunity and come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior and have had their lives radically turned around. And you can speak to probably most of the people in this room, I expect, and they can tell you what Jesus has done for them. And dear friend, you can have that same experience, to have your heart completely changed, your life turned round, because you move from death into life. You move from being blinded to being able to see what God has done for you. And dear friend, tonight, that offer of salvation, that offer of hope, that offer of peace is available to you sitting here in your seat. And it's a simple message. All it requires, dear friend, is for you to turn in repentance and faith. Two words, perhaps, that we hear very often in the Gospel. Repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Realizing that you, as a guilty sinner, have offended God in an infinite way by you having fallen under, if you like, the curse of sin. You've done things wrong in your life. You've offended God, a God who is holy, a God who is righteous. And dear friend, you need to come to realize that your life as it stands before God is not something that God can look upon favorably. Not something that God is able to look on in any way at all. But dear friend, the message of the Gospel is that you can come to God in all your sin, in all your guilt, and he is able to give you a new heart, a new start, a clean heart, it says in the Gospel, in the Old Testament. All because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on that cross at Calvary. Mm. And so we read this tiny little verse here. They shall call his name Jesus, but he shall save his people from their sins. You know, the centre of the gospel, in fact, the centre of the whole of the Bible, is this person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Romans says, doesn't it? He said, the book of Romans says, this is God's glad tidings concerning his Son. He's the absolute centrepiece of what the gospel is. He's the person that put the great plan of salvation into action. He's the absolute centre of God's thoughts. And he's the reason tonight, dear friend, that I can preach to you salvation, because of what he has done on that cross at Calvary. Done everything to God's full and eternal satisfaction. And dear friend, tonight you can come to know him as your personal Saviour. What an offer. What an offer is available in the gospel. There's no small print, you know, in the gospel. Sometimes when you see offers in shop windows or magazines or wherever, you realise the offer's not quite as good as it sounds when you read the small print. Well, in the gospel, there is no small print. God is a God who is very upfront, and the Bible is very upfront. It speaks very plainly about where we stand before God in our sins. It speaks very plainly about what will happen if we leave this earth, if we die before our knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. It speaks very plainly about what will happen. It speaks very plainly about what the future holds for those that reject the gospel. You know, you look in the book of Revelation, right towards the end, and you have that very solemn picture of the great white throne, where men and women will have to stand before the one that they have rejected, an answer for the things that they have done wrong in this life, an answer for why they didn't accept the great offer that God is giving in the giving of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The books, it says, will be opened. And dear friend, if you leave this earth without knowing Christ as your Saviour, your name will not appear in the book of life. And you will spend an eternity away from God in a place that the Bible calls hell. It's a real place. And it's a really solemn background to the gospel. And it's a background that is vital to lay hold of. This isn't a take it or leave it offer. This isn't trying to advertise something that will make your life better, and if you accept it, that's great. If you don't, carry on your life. No, no, no. This is an offer. This is a message that must be accepted. This is God speaking to you tonight. And the rejection of the message comes with eternal consequences. And it's really important, dear friend, that you grasp that there is a warning, there is a solemnity, there is a peril behind the glad tidings. If you walk out of this room tonight not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. But God does not want anybody to have to go that way. The whole message of the gospel centres around the giving of his Son. This was God here putting his great plan of salvation into action. This was moments before the Lord Jesus Christ was born into this world on the greatest rescue mission that there has ever been. We have a hymn in our book about God looking at, he said, my God looked at my helpless estate. And perhaps that's old-fashioned language, but it's God looking down on the human existence down here, looking down on me and you, realizing that we are in no position, we have no power to save ourselves. There is nothing tonight, dear friend, that you can do to move any closer to God. The gap that has been created by sin cannot be traversed by us from our side. No good works, no charity giving, nothing from our side can bring us closer to God. What it required was for God to make a move from his side. And that's the heart of the gospel, if you like. The heart of the gospel is God's great heart of love. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. While we were in this position of being enemies of God, God looked on us, and rather than blowing us away in judgment, as he could well do, He looked on us and he loved us. How much did he love us? Well, the Bible says a number of times about how much God loves you, and God put that love into action by sending his son. God could give nothing else. You know, there's that wonderful parable, isn't there, where you have the I think it was a vineyard, and the owner of the vineyard went away and he sent back servants in type, I suppose, pictures of the various prophets and people and men of God that God has used to speak throughout the Old Testament. And finally, he says, finally I'll send my son. The last and greatest thing that God could do is the giving of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how much God desires to have you tonight. Come to be in his family. Come to enjoy his blessing. God wants to give you all these wonderful things that the Bible speaks about. But most importantly, God wants to God wants himself to be known. God wants to be worshipped. And the way that God has done that is the giving of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There could be no greater giving. It says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable free gift. Human words cannot encompass what it meant for God to have to give up his son so that we could come into blessing. But dear friend, that's how much God loves you. That's how much God desires to have you and include you in the great blessings and the great plans that he has, dear friend. And you tonight can avail yourself. You can come in. We're outside because of sin. And God wants you to come in tonight. God wants you to come home. You know, there's that wonderful passage, isn't there, in Luke 15. A younger son that went off, did everything that he could think of, sinned greatly. And yet, when he came back in repentance, he found a God that loved him, a Father that loved him. And dear friend, tonight, that's what you can find if you turn in repentance and faith to God. You find a God that loves you, a God that has given everything, and a God that wants you, a God that has given his beloved son. They shall call his name Jesus, but he shall save his people from their sins. You can read through the rest of Matthew's gospel. You can read through the rest of the other three gospels as well. You can see how the Lord down here perfectly fulfilled everything that God had ever wanted from man. This was perfection seen in a human being. This was perfection seen in man. And God could say, this is my beloved son in whom I found my delight. Finally, there was somebody that God could look upon. Somebody that God could look upon because the Lord Jesus was perfect. And he needed to be perfect. Because in order for this great question of our sin to be dealt with, there needed to be a perfect sacrifice. All the way through the Bible, right from the start in Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned, they required a sacrifice in order for God to be able to have any sort of relationship with his creature. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, tried to cover up their sin by creating fig leaves, clothes made out of leaves. But that would not do. God had to, blood had to be shed in order for that sin to be covered. And then when you get to the New Testament, the language changes slightly. The sins are not covered anymore when it comes to the Lord Jesus. You know, dear friend, that's the wonderful thing. When you come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, your sins are not covered, if you like, as they were in the Old Testament. They've gone completely. There is a brand new slate, if you like, that can never be written on again. Because when the Lord Jesus died on that cross, and he rose again, and that blood was shed, God was able to look on that blood, and that perfect sacrifice, and he says, when I see the blood, I will pass over. And the reason now that we can stand in God's presence is not because of anything we've done, it's because of what he's done. And when that blood was shed on that cross, we have an expression that we sometimes use, which is sheltering under the blood. That means looking at that sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made on that cross and realizing that that was done for you. That was where you should have been. And you realize that when the Lord Jesus hung there, he was paying the penalty for the sins that you've committed, and you should have been paying that penalty. But because of God's love and because of the great infinite grace on God's part, he sent his son to die on your behalf so that you would never have to bear the great penalty that sin that comes with being a sinner. Dear friend, tonight you can stand in the presence of a holy God. You can stand in the presence of a righteous God. You can come into God's presence. You can enjoy God's home. Not because of anything I've done or you've done, but because of what the Lord Jesus has done. His blood is the foundation whereby God can righteously, that means rightly, come out in blessing towards you tonight. It's all been done to his eternal satisfaction. And that's why Jesus had to be perfect. We couldn't have done it because we're imperfect. And you look through the Old Testament, God desired sacrifices in the Old Testament, and they had to be spotless inside and out. But even they weren't perfect exactly. There's only one perfect sacrifice, and it only needed to be done once. That's how powerful it was. It only needed to be done once. And it was the perfect and full sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made on that cross. Mm-hmm. And dear friend, tonight, that's the reason that you can have full assurance of having your sins forgiven, having peace with God. Because if it was down to us, I think I'd worry about whether I'd done enough or whether I really had done enough in my life to gain favour with God. But that's not how the gospel works. Mm-hmm. The gospel is a gospel of peace, because we can have peace in our hearts knowing that it's all been done by the perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Mm. And that is a wonderful sense of peace, and a wonderful sense of having your burdens completely lifted, knowing that when the Lord Jesus said, "It is finished," he meant it. Mm. There was nothing more to be done. God, if you're sheltering under the blood, God can never bring up your sins anymore, and he never will. Because when he looks at you, a sinner saved by grace, he sees the perfect work and worth of the Lord Jesus. You know, the devil tries very, very hard with Christians, and myself included, to try and bring up past sins, to try and make you worry about your salvation, to make you sit in bed late at night thinking back through all the things you've done wrong and worrying about your eternity. But you know, when the devil points and says, "Look at him down there, look what he's doing," you know what? God only sees the perfect blood of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What, it's a wonderful sense of peace. It's a wonderful sense of security, knowing that you have been purchased by that blood. And dear friend, tonight, that offer is, if you like, on the table. God is presenting that free offer of salvation for you tonight. Mm-hmm. And every single person in this room, as I said, it's a simple message. From the oldest to the youngest, you can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's nobody in this room, in the history of mankind, that has ever done anything so bad that God cannot forgive him. We've all done things in our past, said things, done things, thought things that we probably think about quite a lot, and that we probably wish had never happened. But God is able to forgive everything. Every single thing can all be washed away in the precious blood of Jesus. And dear friend, isn't it such a marvellous thing to think that at no point during this whole gospel era, if you like, that God has ever required anything from your part except repentance and faith? Mm-hmm. The foundation has been set and laid eternally by the Lord Jesus Christ. They shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. It required a sacrifice. It required Jesus coming in, because sin in God's eyes is a very great matter. The Bible talks in Genesis about the world being created, and it happens because God said, and then it happened. Let there be light, and there was light. And the whole universe was set in motion on the words of God. You come to the Gospels, and the Lord is able to heal with a word or a touch. Sometimes, there's even sometimes a huge distance between where the Lord was actually and where the healing took place. The dead was raised by a word. Lazarus, come forth. And the dead was raised. When it comes to the great matter of your sins, it required more than God just saying something. It required a sacrifice. It required the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world to offer himself as a perfect, sinless sacrifice on that cross. And when you really realize all that has gone in to that great plan of salvation, all that it cost God, all that it cost the Lord Jesus to put in action this great plan of salvation, it really should touch our hearts, shouldn't it, about what God has done to bring you, an unworthy sinner, into blessing. God has given everything. And dear friends, the ball, if you like, is now in your court, because you've heard the message of salvation many, many times, most of you. And now it comes down to, what are you going to do with Jesus? That was a question that was asked. What shall I do with this man called Jesus? And dear friend, the same question resonates down 2,000 years later. What are you going to do tonight with Jesus? You can accept him tonight and know the full assurance and peace and safety and security of knowing him as your personal Savior. That's where the message goes out. You can have a hope and a peace that goes beyond this world. You can know him as a Savior. You can know him as a shepherd, somebody that will guide you through the rest of your time down here. You can know the other almost unimaginable gift that God has given in the giving of his Holy Spirit. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're given the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of you so that you can live the rest of your life down here responding to God and living your life as God would have you to live. There's so much on offer in the gospel. There's so much that God desires to give you tonight, dear friend. And it all comes down to this moment right now, where you can walk out of that room rejecting him. But you must know, dear friend, the peril that is involved in that. Because there may not ever be another opportunity. The Bible speaks very clearly about now is the well-accepted time. And although that might seem, preacher after preacher has stood behind this desk and said, now is the well-accepted time, and there may not be a next week. And perhaps you're sitting there thinking, well, it sounds just a little bit like a soundbite, and there isn't much depth to it. But actually, dear friend, it is true. One day there will not be another gospel message preached from here. There won't be people standing in the town centre handing out tracts. There won't be people that will speak to you about Jesus. Because one day, dear friend, very soon, the Lord Jesus is coming back to collect up, to claim those, all those, the living and the dead, who have believed in the Lord Jesus. And then he will claim them for himself. And we will, that's the pinnacle, if you like, of our life down here, is looking forward to that moment where we will see our Saviour face to face. Whether you're, Paul calls it, those who remain, those that are still alive, or those that have gone before, they will all be gathered together to meet the Lord Jesus. And that is a great hope for a Christian. But it is a great, it is a solemn warning, if you like, for those that have yet to know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. Because the gospel message as it goes out now in its grace and in its fullness will no longer be preached from desks like these. Dear friend, your opportunity to come to know the Lord Jesus is now. Now is the well-accepted tithe. Before you even leave your seat, we Christians are looking for the Lord to come back at any moment. Paul was looking for the Lord Jesus to come back at any moment. It is without warning, in the twinkling of an eye. Dear friend, don't leave it too late. The hour is late as it is. We are very close. I think it would be silly to say otherwise. We are very close, I think, to the moment where the Lord will come back. And we are certainly closer than we were when you heard the gospel preached last week. Dear friend, tonight, now, is the well-accepted time. Come and know this man called Jesus, and he can save you from your sins. Dear friend, I pray that you will all, in whatever, whether you've known the Lord Jesus for many years, may you come to know him in a greater and a fuller sense tonight. Realize what he's done, and maybe we can be more humble and more joyous in our outpouring of thanksgiving for what God has done to bring us into blessing. But if you are sitting here tonight, you know that you haven't yet accepted the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. Do it tonight. Time is running out. The sands, if you like, of the timer are trickling through, and there's not much time left. Do it now while you still have the opportunity. A man called Jesus who is able to save you from your sins.
Amen. Amen. Amen.